And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this rainy Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, how we doing? What's going on?
Good. I'm here for the first time in a while.
It feels good to see you.
And then I just looked over to you and this mic's in the way, so I'm going to like move it. There we go.
We can have just a clear picture of my face for you.
So, it's pretty cool to be in here. So, this is the first time since what that we've been in studio together?
The Friday before the Jags game. It's a long time.
It's a while, man.
I don't remember when the Jags game was, but it was the Friday before then.
I think it was like November 4th.
It feels like a long time ago.
Halloween.
Yeah. July 4th. Yeah.
So, it's good to be back. Good to tell you what. Don't get COVID-19 if you can help it. There's my advice of the day for everyone.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No, it is not fun. Does not seem like fun at all. I'm going to try to continue to avoid that. Ryan Porth, how we doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I got my free COVID test this morning on the way in, passed a couple skunks.
Did you?
Yep. And
still works?
I am COVID free.
There you go. Well, how about that?
Confirmed this morning at, 4:45.
You seem to have a lot of skunks on your route to work. This is not the first time you've talked about
this. It's uncanny. Uncanny. Andrew Jackson Parkway in Hermitage is skunk central.
So is it like a big nest of them?
Apparently.
Is that what you call it?
Apparently.
Need to go do a flock
of skunks?
Animal Planet special.
I mean, if it's not every day, it's every other day.
Does Animal Planet still exist? I have no clue.
No, good question.
All right.
So, yeah, thanks, everybody.
All righty. Thanks for joining us. Joe, I'm in pain.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm in pain.
I'm sorry.
That game yesterday was tough. Tom Brady, he comes in there and gets it done again. His 14th conference championship game. He's going back to the Super Bowl. I've had a lot of painful losses, mostly courtesy of the Tennessee Volunteers in my life. A lot of those, actually. I was thinking about it yesterday. This was this Green Bay Packers loss to Tampa Bay was up there in terms of just pure pain. I'm feeling it still this morning.
Well, the highlights are playing behind you. And actually, it's like all the Brady picks are like three. They're showing all three in a row here behind you.
Yeah,
man, it's tough. I'm stunned. I'm stunned by that. And, boy, there's a lot of things you can be upset about today as a Packers fan.
Yeah, I mean, look, from the analytics part of this, I totally understand. And that's been a big part of the game now. But sometimes, doesn't common sense have to take over? Like, if you're the Packers, you're going for two in the third quarter when you don't have to. Which, by the way, later in the game, that could have been really bad. I mean, had they scored a touchdown, they would have needed a two-point conversion then when it was 31-20-3. And you've talked about it all the time. Wait until you absolutely have to before you go for 2 points. That didn't happen. And, of course, you know, the thing everybody's talking about today with LaFleur and Rodgers, it's third down. You don't get it. You're on the 8-yard line. You've got a Hall of Fame quarterback, the NFL MVP this year. You've struggled to get down in the red zone all day, and you're finally there, and you kick the field goal instead of going for the touchdown. It just a whole lot to pick apart yesterday from the Green Bay Packers.
The Matt LaFleur honeymoon is over.
It is over.
Because, yeah, look, I hate both those things. I hate the two. Got into it. I mean, you get into this. There are the analytics people who are just purely the math says that your probability is this. I don't care. If you have a kicker you trust who you believe will make that extra point, I mean, it's not what extra points used to be, like college extra points. It used to be truly
right.
Like you have to really screw up to miss. But it's a 33-yard field goal. These are pros. It's pretty much a free point.
Your kicker has not missed one all season long either.
So, like, yeah, in the third quarter, especially of a high-scoring game. If you're in a low-scoring game where you don't know how many chances or, you know, I get it maybe there. In the fourth quarter, I get it more and more. But at that point, if they would have scored, you know, if they would have scored there, and I think Aaron Rodgers would have scored if he ran, it would have been close. But then they're in the position of, oh, now you have to go for two to send this game to overtime or to tie it. Why? Why are you doing that to yourself? But that's still not as bad as going for the field goal to me. To make it so you still need a touchdown. I mean, you. This is another example of coaches. What's the best part of your team, and what's the worst part of your team? Let's go back to Vrabel, punting. Your best part of your team is your offense and Aaron Rodgers, so go with that.
Yeah. No, it was crazy. And then, of course, you know, not to mention at the end of the first half yesterday, just deciding not to cover people, running down the field. Scotty Miller just running down the field on a go route. Brady puts it right over Kevin King's head for a touchdown. It was unbelievable, the inability to cover people down the field yesterday.
Brady was bad in the second half and almost – I mean, he tried to lose the game. That was a great pass, and what a play, and what a killer for the Pack.
Yeah.
What a killer.
It was bad. And, man, I mean, he had a couple down the field yesterday. And like you said, you know, some risky throws in the second half. It seemed like Brady's strategy was, like, when there was ever a rush in his face, I'm going to throw this straight up in the air and see if anybody can catch it. And that did not work out well for him a couple times. But that pass to Scotty Miller, he had one down the field to Chris Godwin, which was just an unbelievable catch. That vertical passing game, it's still there with Tom Brady and that Bucs offense. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got to give him props. What is it, 9 of 10? 9 of 10 championship games he's been in?
Yeah.
And, of course, now he's going for what, 6-3? So going for his 7th?
Yes. 7 Super Bowl.
Pretty amazing. I just think the Packers are better. They had the better – I mean, I think they have a better team. I think they have a better quarterback. I mean, you got to be like, as a Packers fan now, again, going back to what could that first-round pick have been, and would that person have made a difference in this game?
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, hey, look, all the Packers fans are whining about not picking a receiver, and I was one of those too. I still think you need another receiver. But just that defense yesterday, somebody, give me a starter somewhere on defense and see what kind of a difference it can make. It just, Kevin King yesterday was awful. They couldn't get in Brady's face. I thought Tampa's offensive line did an outstanding job yesterday. And quite frankly, I mean, they've struggled at times this year. I think back to that Sunday night game that New Orleans was just all over Tom Brady in that game. And I thought Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, they'd have a chance to really wreak some havoc on him. And both lines of scrimmage, Tampa Bay was awesome. I mean, that to me was the difference in the game.
I agree. I was surprised how little pressure they got. And Tampa Bay is actually a lot like last year's NFC Super Bowl team. They've got the best D-line in football, I think, right now, as far as overall depth, pass rush, disruption. Those guys are really good. They're playing their best right now. They were dominant yesterday. And that is where you start with that team, you know. And they've got a good quarterback. Right now, a good quarterback. But obviously a winner. And, man, how about Tampa Bay sports, by the way?
Yeah, it's been a heck of a year. Win the Stanley Cup, go to the World Series. Now you're in the Super Bowl.
Can we fast forward 2 months and have Shaq Barrett in a Titans uniform?
He looked good yesterday. My goodness.
He made himself more money yesterday. I mean, he already was, but that was a money-making game. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, you're talking about an offensive line for the Packers that the week before, and I realize Aaron Donald was injured and dealing with a rib situation. Rodgers never got touched. I mean, they tracked it. He never got touched in the entire game against a pretty good front defensively for the Rams. And it was just, the roles got reversed in this game. And they really missed David Bakhtiari yesterday, obviously.
Yeah. And then the Bucs are missing their safeties.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was all there. This was a choke job, man.
It really was.
And even like, look, I mean, like Davante Adams, you got to catch that touchdown pass earlier in the game.
Yep.
Great player. But you got it set up, and maybe the pass, maybe Rodgers would like to have it 2 or 3 inches, you know, up a little bit, but
yeah.
Both hands.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to make plays.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the bottom line. There were plays to be made yesterday. They did not make them. They had plenty of opportunities to do so. And now Tampa Bay sits there in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady laughing his way to the plane last night on Instagram. That was also painful to see. And then we wondered in the other conference, what's it going to look like between Kansas City and Buffalo? And we've had this discussion towards the end of the regular season on whether or not the Chiefs have just been bored. Looks like they were just bored at the end of the regular season. They look every bit as unstoppable right now as we thought they could look. Especially on the offensive side of the ball. Mahomes sure looked good yesterday.
The show so far is working out perfectly for me because everything you talk about, then the highlights are playing right behind you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like that TD to Kelsey. Like, how is Kelsey lost on the goal line ever, you know?
I don't know.
That little throwback, like, how's that happen? No, they toyed with them. I mean, they are. And look, I hope we have a good game in Tampa. It's interesting. I mean, this is the first time that a team's playing at home ever in the Super Bowl. I hope we have a good game. And I do think the Bucs with that D-line can get after Mahomes a little bit, but this might be like an 80s Super Bowl, man. This might be a blowout. And they played a good game when that dropped the Bucs to 7-5, but I just think the Chiefs now are like, okay, now we'll go ahead and show you what we've got. They are I mean the Bills, obviously every team schemes up. It's basically like pick your poison on Kelsey, Tyreek Hill. And Romo was breaking this down yesterday, but I mean, they you can do whatever you want, and both of them are still going to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, the speed he's got, and it's amazing. Like, no matter how much attention you try to pay to Travis Kelce, he gets open. It's unbelievable. He can run every route. Look, we've seen a lot of really good tight ends. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy quite like him in terms of his ability to just get open all the time. I mean, Tony Gonzalez is great.
Yes.
Antonio Gates was great. And there's been a lot of really good players. I don't know that I've ever seen a tight end quite like Travis Kelce, who is just open every time. It's unbelievable.
Former Cincinnati Bearcat.
Yes, I knew you would get that in.
A former protege of Butch Jones, who developed him into the player he is today.
What a coach.
That's right. See, give Butch some credit.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you just named the top three. I think those are the three best tight ends I've ever seen. I think you just named the top three. But, yeah, Kelce is... And the connection he has with Mahomes too.
Yeah.
You know, whatever coverage you're in, you're hosed, and then Mahomes will extend plays if he has to, and then you're really in trouble. I mean, they gave the Bills a freebie. They spotted them 9 and what, a 38-6 run.
Yeah.
I mean, and the Bills are good. The Bills are very good. This might be. I hope we have a good game, but if the Chiefs that we've seen, especially yesterday, it's not going to be a very good game.
Well, not only yesterday, but when Mahomes was in the game against Cleveland.
Yeah.
That offense was having their way against Cleveland in that
whatever
game.
They wanted. I mean, name the score.
They've just taken it to a different level. And look, everybody pays attention to Mahomes and Hill and Kelce. And then all of a sudden you run like a reverse and Mecole Hardman's running for 50 yards down the field. And like they've got so many guys that just get lost because of how great their offense is. And look, Tampa Bay, from a linebacker perspective – they're fast.
Man.
I mean, they're going to be able to run, but I don't know if you're that fast to keep up Kansas City.
No, I mean, White and David are special.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, I mean, White is special, man. No, I mean, I think the fact that you've got those guys up front and you can get four-man pressure the way they can, you have a chance. You have a chance to get some stops in that game. But, boy. You're gonna need to get some stops and then turn that into like some strip sacks.
And yet, I've seen everything that's happened with the Chiefs, and the question in my head still is: do you really want to pick against Tom Brady again? Like, Robbie, is that something you really want to do? Because I've seen this the last couple of weeks. Tom Brady, stat line doesn't look great. The dude just wins. He's winning again, back in the Super Bowl, and we're gonna discuss that when we come back. As you look at Brady's career, obviously very accomplished. Maybe the most successful athlete in the history of the NFL. Where does this accomplishment, taking this team to the Super Bowl, rank in Tom Brady's career? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tom, some people said that you were taking one of the biggest professional risks of your career by coming to Tampa Bay, a team that hadn't been to the postseason in over a decade, yet you guys are, one of the last two teams standing. And can you put into words what it's meant to be able to defy all those critics and naysayers?
Well, this is the ultimate team sport. And, we've had a lot of people work really hard over a course of a period of time to get to this point. So it's a tough journey to get here. So to go on the road and win another road playoff game is just a great achievement. And, now a home Super Bowl for the first time in NFL history, I think puts a lot of cool things in perspective. Anytime you're the first time doing something, it's usually a pretty good thing. So now we just got to go, have a great 2 weeks, prepare for whoever it is and be ready to go.
That was Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback, after their big win yesterday against the Green Bay Packers to advance to the Super Bowl, the first team in NFL history that will play the Super Bowl on their home field. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Obviously, Tom Brady getting a lot of noise today, back in the Super Bowl for an opportunity to win his seventh title. Which player or team are you most tired of watching win all the time? And the options we've got in the poll right now: Tom Brady, LeBron James, Alabama football as a whole, or other that could be listed in our poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Very early in the voting, 145 votes are in. 51% going with Alabama football, 28% with Tom Brady, 18% with LeBron James, and 3% have selected the option for other at this point. So Alabama is leading the way, even though I thought Tom Brady would be a little bit higher on this list.
Well, it's early, but I won't be surprised if Alabama wins. I mean, Alabama
usually wins.
Thank you, Porth.
That's a good point. And they're both very recent, so it's very grating in both cases.
Right.
Anybody who isn't a fan of those two things is very annoyed right now. Like if this was, you know, June, LeBron might have more of a chance.
Yeah. Although they did just win not that long ago.
That's true.
A few months ago.
Feels like a couple years, but yes.
It does. It feels like a very long time ago. So, look, we know Tom Brady, obviously, very accomplished in his career. We had this discussion on Friday about where he ranks in terms of the greatest of all time. I've got him right now as really the runaway at number one as the greatest quarterback of all time. But regardless of where you put him exactly in your rankings, he's had a lot of success in his career. 6 Super Bowl titles, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's done a whole lot of winning. I mean, just to think about, he's played in the league 21 years, and he's been to 14 conference championship games. It's just ridiculous what he's been able to accomplish. And obviously, most of that has come in New England. Where does this rank in terms of his accomplishments in his career? Obviously, still a chapter yet to be written. We'll see if he can get it done against the Kansas City Chiefs and win his 7th Super Bowl title. But just getting this team and this franchise at his age, 43 years old, back into the Super Bowl, winning 3 games in a row on the road in the playoffs to get to this point, where does this specific accomplishment rank for Tom Brady in his career, in your opinion?
I mean, it's up there because I thought he was done. Not done, but, like, you know, after watching him play against the Titans last year, you know, I thought he was just – he was going to play out the string. And so at his age, new team, really good team. I mean, that's – you got to keep that in mind. They've built this team up, and if, you know, Jameis throws – a million picks last year, you know, and maybe they're a lot better team. But still, he changed the – I mean, he brought winning to the organization. You can't deny that. He wasn't, like, out of this world great in these wins, but he made a lot of big plays too. I mean, I don't have in mind, like – a list of his best wins, sure, or achievements, right, mine. But, I mean, the fact that you separate him from Belichick and then he does this, I think that's a pretty big deal. Because it's all – and people are going to overreact on the wrong side of Belichick now. excuse me, because they're going to say that, you know, oh, yeah, it was all Brady. And that's – I think it's an absolute partnership. But still, I mean, Brady goes away from Belichick and gets to the Super Bowl. That's up there at this age.
Yeah, that's the thing to me. And I realize you watch him play in the playoffs this year, and, you know, statistically it's not been great. Like, he didn't play a great game against the Saints or anything like that. I thought he was awesome yesterday in the first half, some mistakes in the second half against the Packers. So it's not been perfect. But the dude just wins. And you can tell offensively out there playing with him that guy, they're just confident that they're going to go out there and get the job done and make the necessary plays in order to win. And I do think that has had a palpable effect on that team. There's a difference going out there because, look, to your point, Jameis Winston throwing interceptions left and right. Obviously, he's not Tom Brady. But even bringing in, you know, a guy like Phillip Rivers or a guy that's been there and has done a lot of winning in his career. I think Tom Brady's a notch different than that, just in terms of the confidence that he gives you coming out there as an offense. I mean, they know. I mean, a lot of those guys were, you know, in second grade when Tom Brady started playing, or maybe even younger than that. I mean, there's a stat yesterday. I think Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes were in kindergarten when Brady won his first Super Bowl. So a lot of these guys have grown up watching Tom Brady play, seeing how good he is, idolizing him at that position. And there's been something palpable, I think, that's come with that. So, you know, he's 43. He had a great year. The numbers look great. I mean, threw for, you know, over 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. He had a phenomenal year from a statistics standpoint. But I think everybody would agree he's not the same as he used to be. But he's still pretty darn good. And that offense right now, it's clicking. And they look really, really good. And they've been on a roll really ever since the last 3 or 4 weeks of the regular season. And they're clicking at the right time. And this just shows what can happen once you get hot coming into the playoffs.
Yeah, look, I agree. Like, intangibles with him, there's no doubt. I mean, he makes a huge difference on that organization. And there's a confidence with him. I'll say this: if he beats Mahomes in this game, I might put him number one. He might be number one for me if he beats Mahomes. So, which would be a big deal for him, I'm sure.
You know, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, I mean, so dangle that carrot in front of Tom.
Yeah,
you know,
still theoretically has a chip on his shoulder for being drafted in the sixth round. So
that's right.
Maybe that's the next one he's looking for is Rex Rhodes' quarterback ranking.
You know, he has there's another big record he can get in this game.
You
can match Jim Kelly for the most losses in Super Bowl history by a quarterback.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right.
Did Dan Fouts ever go to Lambeau for an NFC championship or, you know, go win a playoff game?
Dan Fouts played in the AFC.
Yeah.
The Packers are in the NFC, Ryan.
You got to play in the other conference.
Would you like me to send you the AFC-NFC list?
Sure. Sure.
All right.
I'd like a refresher.
I kid you not. After the Dan Fouts discussion we had the other day, I'm sitting in my house on Friday just kind of messing around, waiting on my wife to get off work so we can go get something to eat. And I look up on PTI. There's a picture of Dan Fouts. And they're sitting there talking about Dan Fouts.
Why?
I don't even remember. I was just like, what's going on here? We trendsetters here on Robbie and Rex Road?
Yeah.
Dan Fouts conversation all over the place.
It's about time we started talking more about Dan Fouts. Well, of course, this has turned into, you know, people on Twitter. You said Dan Fouts is twice the quarterback Tom Brady. You know, okay. All right. I need to get the audio of all that. I did say that I think Elway might be the better quarterback, but I did rank Brady above Elway.
You did.
2-3. So, you know. But Dan Fouts. More respect, more love for Dan Fouts.
More love,
if I can create a little more love for Dan Fouts.
242 interceptions he threw.
I'll tell you what, a caller called in about Warren Moon. I went back and looked. So 6 years in the CFL, winning all those championships with Edmonton, Warren Moon would have had 70,000 passing yards in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, Warren Moon would be talked about more if not for being screwed over.
Yeah.
And having to start his career in Edmonton. So I'm glad that was brought up because, honestly, that doesn't come right to mind, but it should.
Yeah, it should. And Tom Brady, like you said, I mean, this is going to be a heck of a matchup. Basically, I mean, you've got what many people consider the greatest quarterback of all time and then what a lot of people consider as a guy that could really challenge that one day in Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the things Patrick Mahomes has been able to do so far have been incredible. And he's in a great situation, Andy Reid. A great play caller. They got a ton of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And quite frankly, their defense is better this year than it was a season ago. So this is a really scary team. I tell you, if Brady is able to pull this off, this is going to be the most impressive Super Bowl, most impressive season I think he's had. And that's saying something because he's had a lot of really impressive moments in his career.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. He's quarterbacked the Death Star all those years, right? And they had great defenses. They did not always have this kind of weaponry he has, but at this age, if you go beat that team and that quarterback now, it's got to be number one.
Dan Fouts would go beat Mahomes.
He is just going to drill light his home all day.
Oh, you go ask Chiefs fans about Dan Fouts. Oh, they still have nightmares.
Nightmares. That beard coming in there and just chucking the ball around. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty texts in and says, it only took him 20 years, but Brady finally matched Rodgers and Breeze with the number of NFC championships. Nicely done,
Ooh,
Ty.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
Nice. I like it.
And now I'm back into pain that he's got the same amount of NFC titles as Aaron Rodgers. Thank you. Appreciate you, Ty. Tom Brady, dude just keeps on winning. When we come back, we'll go to the other side of the conference championship weekend in the NFL. What do we think of that game for Kansas City against Buffalo? And can anyone really stop Patrick Mahomes and this offense and the way they're rolling right now? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Yeah, I mean, the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. Being able to go up against one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time in his 150th Super Bowl, I mean, it's going to be a great experience for me. I mean, to go out there and have a chance to repeat and get to do it against the best, I mean, it's something special, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
That was Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, after their 38-24 win yesterday against the Buffalo Bills. The Chiefs going back to the Super Bowl. It'll be the second Super Bowl appearance for Patrick Mahomes. Apparently Tom Brady has 150, according to Mahomes.
I like how Mahomes said, correctly, one of the greatest.
Maybe he already puts himself above Brady. You think so? I think Mahomes is like, yeah, he's okay.
There was a nice tweeted picture of like a goat and then a baby goat about Brady and Mahomes. Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's nice. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler and Barry Hill texts in and says, do the rules of the salary cap apply to the Chiefs? Asking for a friend.
Yeah.
It does seem like they got a whole lot of money running around out there last night.
Yeah.
It just somehow fits magically under the cap.
Like, that's the thing. For everybody, I've seen some of this, and I get the sentiment. Like when are they not going to win at all? How many in a row are they going to win? Well, they're going to have some cap stress here soon. So it is pretty amazing how they've been able to make this all work. But with Mahomes' deal, there's only so much deferring and moving around you can do, and you're gonna have to say goodbye to some good players.
Obviously very impressive yesterday from Mahomes. 29 of 38, 325 yards, 3 touchdowns on the day, 0 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 127.6. And this comes off a week where everybody was wondering, all right, is he going to play? How healthy is he going to be if he gets in there? And he looks like Patrick Mahomes looks every time he steps on the field, and that is very, very good. And Taylor Lewan threw this question out on Twitter yesterday, which made me laugh. He said, if Patrick Mahomes retired now, like right now, is he already a Hall of Famer? I mean, it's amazing to watch. You're talking about, since he's taken over full-time as a starting quarterback, a trip to the AFC title game, a Super Bowl win last year, and now a Super Bowl appearance again, where that team, as good as it was last year, I think this Chiefs team is better. I think they're more dangerous. I think they're better on the defensive side of the ball from start to finish this year than they were last year. And obviously a big challenge coming up against the Bucs and that defense and Tom Brady, the way he's playing. But I look at Mahomes when he's healthy and wonder, regardless of who the defense is, can anybody stop that guy? Can anybody stop that offense? Because so far, answer's been no.
It's hard to imagine. You know, we've seen it here and there, but again, we haven't seen it when it really counts at all. The last time we saw that was when he lost to Brady 2 years ago in that cold AFC title game with some awful, awful calls. What was the roughing on Brady? Was that Chris Jones?
I think it was Chris Jones.
So that's why Chris Jones said yesterday something like, well, I'll see his ass, right? Yeah, Chris Jones talking some smack already. But that's the last time Patrick Mahomes lost a game that mattered.
Yeah.
And
no disrespect to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you get them here and there in the regular season, but they've got, you know, for all we talk about with Brady, you know, brings confidence to a team. He's a winner. He believes he's going to win. That's how you feel with the Chiefs, as a especially offensively as a unit. And I agree with you. They're better on defense. That's a pretty good defense. Now, I think this could be a high-scoring Super Bowl, but I just think the score on one side right now trends higher than the other, man, unless the Bucs figure something out. And we're talking about, I think, the best defensive line going right now.
Yeah, I think so too. And then on the other side, you know, a defense that had been playing really well up until that point, the Buffalo Bills. You know, the defense really came on at the end of the year, because I remember, you think back to the beginning of the season when they were playing against the Titans, and obviously they had some key absences in that game against the Titans, but the defense up until that point had not been playing well, and that was the strength of the Bills coming into the season. Josh Allen has a great year. Yesterday finishes 28 of 48, two touchdowns, one interception. And the Bills, obviously, this is the most successful year they've had in a very long time. And now the question is, are they going to be able to sustain this? Can they get back to this point? If you're a Titans fan, you know how difficult it is to get to this point and then try to find a way to get back to it. What do you think about the Bills and the future they have with now Josh Allen at quarterback, Stephon Diggs coming in, having a great year, and some of the key pieces they've got on defense that started to play really well at the end of the season? Are these the two favorites in the AFC next year when the season begins?
Probably. But, you know, I mean, what a gap, right? How much of a gap did we see yesterday, you know?
Significant.
Yeah. So, yeah, but they're probably the two. I mean, without knowing all the free agency sure. movement and everything, probably. But it is. Like, this year, we kind of thought it might be Kansas City, Baltimore, everyone. I think next year it's just going to be Kansas City, pause, whoever else, probably Buffalo, but – what do you do? If you're Buffalo, how do you feel good about that? I mean, you got to like what you have. You love the Allen-Diggs combination, good defense. There's just no – like, nobody in the AFC can realistically look at their defense and say, all we need is this and this, and we got those guys, you know? Load up your offense, man. Load up your offense. But this is why I didn't like the matchup, because they can't run the ball. And I don't – And if you, I think the Ravens, people will laugh at this, but I think they could have been a better matchup, just because you can make that offense antsy and sit there for 8 minutes while you convert and drive, and then if you finish a drive. But Buffalo, they don't even try to run the ball. That's one thing they need to do. They need to look into a little bit more balance.
I was watching that game yesterday thinking, the Titans would have had zero shot at stopping that Chiefs offense. Like, if they were doing that against the Bills defense that had been playing pretty darn well down the stretch and in the playoffs, the Titans would have been just absolutely shredded.
I had similar thoughts, like just thinking, if the Chiefs are serious and they are motivated and the Titans somehow made it back to the AFC title game, like, what number could Kansas City put up if they really wanted to?
The only counter to that is, again, do you have 8 minute touchdown drives and take and I mean, that's it. Yeah, well, score that, every time.
And that worked in the Titans' favor in the first half last year in the AFC title game, and then the Chiefs did that right back at them with their running game in that second half against the Titans. But yeah, that defense would have been just completely obliterated yesterday.
Right. So if you're an AFC team looking at the Chiefs, I mean, you have to try to get after Mahomes. You need some stops. You have to try to get some stops, but you can't feel great about many, right? So it's like, outscore them, keep them off the field. But, I mean, that's really, like, the hope for everyone is just that the cap really catches up with the Chiefs and that they don't draft well.
Let me ask you guys this. There's this rumor going out that, like, if they win this and they go back-to-back, then Andy Reid's just going to say, you know what? Yeah. I'm done. I'm hanging it up. I've won my two Super Bowls at this point, and that's going to be it. Do you see that happening? Like, if I'm Andy Reid, as long as I've been around the game and as much as you put into it, I'd have a pretty hard time walking away from this group and this quarterback based on the success that they've had, but also the success that everybody feels like they're going to have moving forward here. Like, I don't think anybody feels like this train is slowing down anytime soon. He's only 62 years old. Do you see that happening if they go and win back-to-back Super Bowl titles, which hasn't been done since the early 2000s in the Patriots doing it, that he just calls it quits and he's done?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't, you know. If he's feeling good and he doesn't just crave the golf course right now, I agree with you. You could be on the verge here of a Belichickian run. Yeah, I've heard that, you know, there's the talk about maybe he'll step down and Eric Bieniemy just steps
slides in and
takes the job, you know, and keeps everything going. But I say stick around, Andy. All those years of taking crap for your late game decisions, you know, you can just keep dunking on people left and right now.
Yeah, I mean, how's that looking right now? Sometimes this goes to show you that patience. You know, look, I mean, and some of it was justified with Andy Reid and some of the decisions that he made, but I would have a hard time walking away from this group. And it is funny, like, you look at the coaching situation right now, and trying to figure out, okay, what's going on with Eric Bieniemy? Why is he not getting these job opportunities? You've heard he doesn't interview well, which I just find to be
what a
hilarious,
crock.
Just how stupid that is. But maybe this is a good situation, or if Andy Reid retires, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, Eric Bieniemy is exactly the person who I'd want having the job at that point.
Well, the whole organization. I mean, if yeah. you can – and I know it, a lot of times it doesn't work out. You know, the protege steps in and it's like, we're going to keep it all the same. Well, it's not the same, but I'd still try with what they have going right now. I mean, they got another freaking bowling ball touchdown yesterday, you know? I mean, who else does that stuff? Who else even tries that again after you do it once? I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, the creativity of that offense, it's also part of it. Yes, the talent, Mahomes, the speed, but what they do with that talent is special.
Aren't Andy Reid and you brought up Bill Belichick, aren't they examples of when you put a great quarterback with a great coach, what that can do? Because Andy Reid got a lot of flack for years yeah. in Philly, but he never had a great quarterback. Donovan F. McNabb was just okay.
He was good.
Yeah,
he was good.
He wasn't great. Alex Smith in Kansas City, he was good. He wasn't great. And Andy Reid got a lot of flack for not winning the big one. He gets Mahomes, and now he's knocking on the door of number two. Belichick got all those Super Bowls with Brady. Brady leaves, and they have a below-average quarterback play, and they weren't very good this year.
So what you're saying is that coaching is overrated.
That when you pair a great coach with a great quarterback, you're probably going to win. And if you don't have a great quarterback, you are going to need a lot of other things to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is a players' league. Bill Belichick's a great coach, and I agree with you, Joe. Like, this is going to become a narrative now that Brady's gotten back there without him. That, okay,
Belichick
it was all Brady.
Stinks.
Belichick doesn't know what he's doing. Like, I don't believe that for a second, but I also believe if you're asking me to pick between the two on which one's more important, the player's going to win every time. The quarterback's going to win every time, whether it's Bill Belichick, it's Andy Reid, whatever situation you want to throw out there. If Matt LaFleur goes on and wins a Super Bowl this year, it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, the quarterback is the one that's going to be the most important part of that discussion. So that's not to discount Bill Belichick or anything that he's done, but this is a quarterback league, and it has been for the last 20, 25 years especially, given the new rules and everything going on right now offensively. So that's just the way it is. I know that's going to be a narrative with Andy Reid that used to be you can't win the big game. Now that Belichick is without Brady and Brady's having success, that's going to be the narrative with him. Those two are really good coaches. I think Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. But Tom Brady has always been more important to their success than Bill Belichick was.
Well, I agree, but I'd go a step further, too. Like, okay, so Brian Billick, was that Brian Billick? Because obviously Trent Dilfer's a quarterback.
Sure.
Well, I think it's the incredible players they had on defense.
Right.
I think the Bears was not Mike Ditka as a genius, and it wasn't Jim McMahon was a great quarterback. It was the ridiculous players. And I, honestly, that was a Buddy Ryan thing, if anything. That defense, you know, was schematically, people couldn't deal with it. But it's absolutely a players' league always. I mean, X's and O's matter. There's no doubt about that. But I'd make that pick every time, too. I'm always taking the great player.
When we come back, we'll continue this discussion and get your reaction as well. How much credit, looking back on it, does Tom Brady need to get for the Patriots dynasty when compared with Bill Belichick? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, recapping conference championship weekend in the NFL. Taking your reaction as well, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And obviously, Joe, Tom Brady back in the Super Bowl, his 10th Super Bowl appearance. He's 1-6. Going for 7 here now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's going to have a lot of people talking today. His first year outside of New England, he gets back to the Super Bowl. So does that mean that he deserves all of the credit for what happened in that dynasty with the Patriots, which I think is the most impressive dynasty that I've ever seen in sports? A lot of people point to Jordan and the Bulls and what they were able to do in the NBA. I think with the way the NFL set up and the salary cap and how difficult – it is to compete at that level and get back there every single year, I think the Patriots run is the most impressive thing I've seen in professional sports. And I know the narrative is going to be there today that Brady gets all the credit. Now, I'll say this. As good as I think Brady has been this year and as well as I think he's played for the most part in the playoffs, team's pretty good. I mean, that defense is pretty darn good, obviously, with Evans and Godwin. And up until yesterday, Antonio Brown there as well. There are a lot of weapons offensively as well. This is one of the more talented rosters that Tom Brady has ever played with. So that can't be ignored in this discussion. But as you look back on it, based on what he's been able to do in his first year away from New England, how much credit do you give Tom Brady for the run that they were able to put together in New England? How much credit, more credit, does he deserve than Bill Belichick in this discussion?
Well, yeah, he'll get a lot more now. I think it's a partnership. It's greatness on both sides. You know, the interesting thing about that dynasty is they went 10 years between Super Bowl wins. You know what I mean? But because of those two guys being part of it, we still consider it one dynasty. I mean, they went 10 years.
Right.
Now, I agree. It's incredibly impressive, you know, to then come back and win those and everything. But it's a totally changeover team, too. But regardless, I give the player more credit, I guess, as a rule. But this does not, to me, this should not diminish Belichick. It doesn't mean it won't. I mean, there's going to be some crazy takes. Hey,
how mad do you think he is today? Just knowing Bill Belichick, you know, his persona in the media is just that he doesn't really care about any of that crap. But we all know that's not true. I mean, he's got to care about this to some degree. And it's got to irk him that Brady, given everything that happened last year and, you know, the back and forth that you heard about coming about out of New England, that he's come in his first year and is going to the Super Bowl right now. He's got to be mad.
I thought about, like, I'd love to watch Belichick right now watching this game. Like, what's he doing? Like, is he just, like, pumping his fist every time the Packers make a play? And then did he send, like, a, hey, congrats, buddy, like, text late last night, you know? Is he pretending to be happy for him now?
Yeah.
I need a Bill Belichick interview. Pronto.
And you heard the stuff that, you know, Bruce Arians came out with and said that, you know, he lets Brady coach. They didn't let him do that in New England. And sometimes Arians just sits back and lets Tom Brady do his thing. That was a huge talking point last year of, you know, the friction between Brady and Belichick. And look, it's natural. You're around guys for 20 years. You've had a lot of success together. There are a lot of egos involved once you get to this point. I think Tom Brady wanted more control. I think Tom Brady wanted more money. I think he wanted a lot of things. And that ultimately led to the divorce and what we're seeing now in Tampa Bay. But I did. When I watched that clock expire yesterday, getting over my own pain of the Packers losing, I was thinking about it. I wonder what Bill Belichick's doing right now. Probably not watching this part of it.
Well, Belichick also, wisely to me, spent some time trying to find the successor, right? And so they had Jimmy G in there, and Brady doesn't like it. And as it turns out, you know, I don't know about Jimmy G.
Yeah,
but
not looking great.
But I mean he's a talented guy, pretty good quarterback, but you know, that was part of it too. So yeah, it's natural. I mean, of course, like you said, huge egos. Things kind of went bad. They had an incredible run. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how long Belichick, like how driven is he to stick around and have his shot, you know, to come back on this. I'm sure he's pretty driven for all he's done, which is probably bad news for the rest of the league, too, because he'll probably figure it out.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, I believe the saying is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. It's kind of the same when you have the best coaches and the players, but the players are the ones that have got to play and go out and execute. So that goes back to what we were talking about in terms of Andy Reid and Bill Belichick. When you're having this discussion of some of the greatest coaches we've seen in the NFL, how much of it is them and how much of it is just the players that they have? I think we would both agree it's a combination of both. Like, Belichick still, to me, deserves a lot of credit for what they were able to do, managing all that. He made some absolutely genius moves from a play-calling standpoint, especially defensively, as you look back at some of these runs by the Patriots. So it's both. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're Bill Belichick or if you're Andy Reid, and you're trotting, you know, Josh McCown out there as your starting quarterback, not going to win. I mean, it's going to be really difficult to win that way, as Belichick found out firsthand this year.
Yeah, I mean, so the news comes over the weekend. Great news for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
That, you know, that he, the Lions are going to trade him to somebody. And Titans fans, hope it's not Indy. Ugh. But here, there's an example of someone who, again, I think a tremendously talented player. And he's had, I mean, Jim Caldwell was a decent coach. Matt Patricia, a terrible coach. But the things around him, including just the bad organization, have limited him. There's an, I mean, we'll see. Wherever he goes, you know, some Mark Kisla, columnist out in Denver, put something out there like, I would way take Matt Ryan over Stafford. I disagree.
Oh, I vehemently disagree.
I mean, Matt Ryan in his prime, but I feel like, you know, Matt Stafford still has a lot of good football. But there's an example of a guy who, like, his talent could not overcome the other thing. You have to have a lot of things. It is a team game. Again, Tom Brady won yesterday. He's a winner. He's a great player. This is incredible. He won yesterday because his defense was incredible in the second half. Yeah. He was bad. You know, so, I mean, it's a team game, but we struggle with that. It has to be all about the QB or the coach.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler texts in and says, my question for you guys is, how much will these Chiefs and Bucks teams change how people build teams moving forward? The two teams in the Super Bowl have probably the most talented offensive rosters, and both defenses give up some points every now and then. They both have one very good player at each level of the defense. The Bucks have got a few more than the Chiefs do, but all of their resources are focused on the offense. Are other teams going to try and just load up with playmakers on offense and spend less on defense because you're going to have to score with Mahomes because he can't be stopped?
That's kind of like what the Raiders have been doing, right?
Yeah, just loading all up.
I would say in general, yeah, but look at the Titans this year. And then look at, I mean, these two teams, they do have studs up front who can wreck games for you. You got to affect the quarterback. I mean, obviously, you can't invest in everything. You got to draft well. You have to have good young players wherever on the field. But
unless you're the Chiefs, you can't invest in everything at that point.
That's true. Somehow you can. But you've got to affect the opposing quarterback to have a chance. And both of these teams can do that. So we're going to focus on Brady, Mahomes, Godwin, Evans, Hill, Kelsey. Man, Shaq Barrett was a stud yesterday.
He was.
JPP, old guy, was a stud yesterday. You got to have guys like that. Like, the Titans tried to pay for that.
Yeah.
And it obviously didn't work out.
Well, look, I think the 2020 Titans are the perfect example of what Tyler's talking about there. I mean, offensively, you can't ask for a whole lot more. I know it didn't work out in the playoff game against the Ravens, and they got shut down in that game. But by and large, you can't ask for much more than the Titans offense gave you this year. But you're so inept on the other side of the ball that you just give yourself no chance. I mean, that defense for Tampa Bay is pretty good. I think the defense for Kansas City, even though I know that every now and then they get burned and they give up some points, I think they're pretty good. Titans defense, I don't think it approaches either one of those two defenses.
No, not at all. So in general, I agree with, like, I think the you have to have got you've got to be able to score points. No one can look at this league and say, well, I'm going to put together a defense that gives up 15 points a game and we're going to defense wins championships.
Right.
No. Doesn't work. But you also can't have garbage defense. I mean, you know, and again, like, the Titans, we'll see on coordinator and who they sign and who they lose, but if they can get to average, then I think next year they can be in the mix.
So when we come back, we will switch gears. The Tennessee Volunteers have got their athletic director in place. So where does it go from here in the coaching search? We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.